than what you thought. Amen. Children's church, nursery will be dismissed at this time, along with Pastor Gary. We appreciate you being here, visitors. Make yourself at home. I desire your prayers this morning. I have been given a task, and it's a task from the Lord. I'm preaching under tremendous pressure this morning. Had a surgery last week. The doctor wanted to know, did I have any jewelry on? And I had a wedding band, and I gave it to my wife. I haven't seen my wedding band since. And she's gone. Would you do that again where I can get a picture? Amen. If this wasn't being recorded, I'd say the Lord works in mysterious ways. This morning, I'm not going to preach a very long time because I have an agenda at the end of the service. If there's ever been a time that we need to pray over our nation, it's now. What is happening in America is unbelievable, and I might add the words disgusting. What has happened in New York has now started a snowball effect. Virginia abortion bill would allow determination up until birth. When I say a snowball effect, New York, after signing a bill allowing abortion up until birth, are now pushing to legalize assisted suicide. We live in a sick world. Some of the things that I thought that I would not live to see, or that I wouldn't be able to pastor, I'm having to deal with now. As I said, it's a snowball effect. We live in a generation that don't know what's right or what's wrong. And it's sad. So sad. Pastor, the last several weeks, has lost his job because of his stance in this area. Others will lose their support. because of their stance in this area. As a pastor, I want you to love me. I want to know that I have your support. But not at the point of disappointing the one that has called me into ministry. Would it be okay that I just kind of just flow with the Spirit? In Isaiah 6 and 20, it says, "Woe! Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." If you look down just a few more verses in verse 25, it says, "Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against His people." We live in perilous times. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge thee quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom." Understanding that one day we're going to stand before God. As your pastor, one day I will stand before God. Note what Paul told Timothy in verse 2, he said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." But I want you to pay close attention to verse 3. Paul told Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables." We're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times, dangerous times. Can I declare unto you this morning that the Bible is far from silence on the topics such as the sanctity of human life? Why should we value life? Think about that just for a moment. Why should we value life? Isaiah 44 and 24. Thus saith the Lord Himself, who is God, the one who formed you from the womb. So we understand that God is the Creator. God is the one that gave us life. And life should have value. Who is the Creator of the preborn? Psalms 139 and 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Then there's the question that so many seem to be asking. Are the preborn a human being? In Luke 1 and 4, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, it says that the baby leaped in her womb. The NIV says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in the womb leaped for joy. I don't know how you feel, but there's a part of me this morning that feels that we need to go back to the Old Testament in dealing with the issues that we're dealing with right now. Can I tell you this morning that you don't want to make Daddy mad? He's a loving, merciful Heavenly Father. But can I tell you that one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for our lives. You go back in the Old Testament in Exodus 21, 22 through 25, and I've tried to find the best translation to make it as plain as I could make it. It says, if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there's no serious injuries, the offender must be fined. And whatever the woman's husband declares and the court allows. Now understand, I'm reading this from another translation. But if there is serious injury, you are to take a life for a life. Eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. Hand for a hand. Foot for a foot. Burn for burn. Wound for wound. Bruise for bruise. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I come to tell you that I didn't vote for men to be in authority to go along with such garbage as we're dealing with today. What should our view be as a Christian? Psalms 127 and 3 says, behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. That should be our view. Then in Psalms 127, verse 3, It says children are a heritage from the Lord, the offspring, a reward from Him. Then you hear those that say it's the woman's rights. Well, I could anoint myself right there. Time wouldn't allow me to get in to say everything that I want to say right there. We're living in dangerous times. Illinois' governor signed an order forcing the taxpayers to fund abortion for state employees. Just happened. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I stand with South Carolina, the senator that approved a bill to ban all abortions. And I think we're 100% here. I'm proud to live in Alabama. The Alabama Supreme Court ruled that an unborn baby is a person. Social media is good to some points. But as I stroll through social media, I'm very thankful, and I want to be very careful here. I'm very thankful for those that have spoken up, spoken against. The decision in New York, and I'm just going to be blunt, can I? To legalize murder, the disassemblement of a fully developed baby. But let me say this morning without compromise, that I'm very disturbed. I'm very perplexed by the statements that I hear over and over again. Such as, I'm not political. I stay away from controversial issues. Can I declare unto you this morning that this is not a political issue? I don't care if you're even registered to vote. There ought to be something that boils up in you when you see what we're seeing taking place in our nation. It's not a political issue. It's a matter of righteousness versus evil. But yet people don't know what's right or what's wrong anymore. I'm thankful for senators like Senator Lankford that used the house floor to say before God formed you in the womb, He knew you. And went on to say a baby in the womb is a real life. Can I be blunt in the next few minutes? And I'm not going to just keep on and keep on, but I want to be right to the point. Don't want no one to leave this morning and say, I don't know where Pastor was coming from this morning. America has seen the destruction of the institution of marriage between a man and a woman. We went through the battle of the restrooms. Which one do I go in? Can I get a witness? We have went through the times of prayer and the Word being taken out of our schools. We have saw the murder of 40 to 50 million babies every year. But yet when a man of God stands up and says that it's wrong, he's not a popular man anymore. But I believe this morning that I'm standing before a congregation that believes right is right, wrong is wrong, evil is evil. I stand for righteousness. I believe that God is raising up men of God who is going to stand for truth in this late hour that we live in. Can I say, you said I can be blunt, right? And old Steve did. I watched him. So if this offends you, you go to Steve. It's an indictment against America. It's an indictment against the church. I'm going to be blunt this morning. The pulpit is partially to blame. Let me put it this way. Silence speaks volumes. We live in a generation that people want to come to church and be uplifted and encouraged. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm here to tell you, sometime, some point, another, we need to stand up for what is right and speak the Word of God. The pulpit is partially the blame. Can I tell you this morning that pastors are not cheerleaders? Sometimes I feel that I've got to cheer you on to your happy life. But I'm here to tell you, we're not cheerleaders, but we're game changers. We should stare and convict you so that real change can take place. We should stare you to stand up for what is right. I believe that there's many wonderful pastors, many wonderful churches. But yet, I believe that many pastors and many churches have drifted off course. Amen. You see, we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. God forbid that we lose our influence. God forbid that the lights go out in the church. We're here for a reason. My job as a pastor goes far beyond just making you feel good about yourself. Oh yes, I want to make you feel good. I want you to leave every service and say, wow, I feel so good.
But can I tell you that if you're not willing to stand up for truth and righteousness, then you don't need to feel good. My, my, my. Conviction sometimes makes me feel bad. Sometimes we need to feel bad. The pastor in the church has been given the obligation to make America godly again. Not just great again. God help us to make America godly again. God help us to raise up our children to be men and women of God to stand up for what's right. And I promise you, I'm landing. I've got an agenda. It's the pulpit that regulates the spiritual condition of God's people, which affects our nation. Do I have to say this, Lord? Everything so far has been okay, but Lord, do I have to say this? We now live in a lukewarm, sex-saturated culture. The church of today reflects the lack of conviction in the pulpit as well as in the pew. If we don't have a conviction to stand up for what is right as pastors, I promise you, the pew is not going to do it either. Oh, Lord, I feel something. Gary, pray over there, would you? The pastor and the church leaders. It's us that must take responsibility for the spiritual health of the church and the nation. What do you mean, Pastor? I've said it over and over again. I'm going to say it again. So goes the home, so goes the church. So goes the church, so goes the nation. We need to stand up and be the church. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Many pastors. I'm a pastor. I can preach on them. Can't we, Gary? We can. We can talk about pastors. And I'll say, Pastor, if the shoe fits, put the shoe on. Wear it. Amen. Many pastors have become nothing more than motivational speakers. Oh, I want to motivate you. I want you to feel good about yourself. Brother Steve, can I pick on you? It's God's will that you have $1 million. Amen. When he gets it next week, I'm going to be the most popular pastor in this world. Amen. We want to be. Yeah. And that's what churches want. They want motivational speakers that will motivate the people. You know, be all you can be. Rise up and be blessed. I'm for this. I want you to rise up. I want you to become everything that you need to become. But I'm here to tell you in the day and the hour that we're living in, if you're not willing to stand up for what's right, you will not be blessed. Amen. But if you'll stand up for what is right, you'll be blessed going in. You'll be blessed going out. Hallelujah. Many pastors have become nothing more than motivational speakers rather than preachers of righteousness. I'm here to tell you,
we as a church. We've got an awesome church. And that's why I was so stressed out preaching what I'm preaching. We have such a good church. But I'm here to tell you, others are watching us to see where we're going to stand on this issue. I don't know about you. I think we need to fire the Republicans, the Democrats, and all. Amen. Fire them. Amen. Because it's built a wall up between us that we can't come together and we don't know what's right or wrong, you know. And I'm here to tell you, it don't matter what party you belong to, right is right and wrong is wrong. Stand for what's right. I read to you Isaiah 5 and 20. Let me give you the interpretation of what it's saying. It means that they have no sense or consciousness of what's right or what's wrong. And you might say, preacher, why preach this to the Fort Payne Family Worship Center? And I would answer this way. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. Where is it going to start? It's going to start right here. You see, I can't fix everything. I wish I could. I can't fix everything. But there's one thing that I can do. I can preach the truth. And I can stand for the truth. And I can have a congregation that's behind me that's willing to stand for the truth. Because they know that judgment is not going to begin in the White House. It's going to begin in the church house. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel? The righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? I'm thankful that my Heavenly Father is a Father that loves. He has mercy. He forgives us. There's many people that I deal with in life that they've been down the wrong road. What I'm preaching this morning even makes them feel worse because they've had an abortion. But I'm here to tell you that we serve a Heavenly Father that's able to forgive you of all your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But I am here to tell you that we will stand before God one day on our stance. Marvin is getting some music ready. I told you I had an agenda. But I'm going to say just three or four more things. And we're going to pray. But can I tell you this morning that it's much, much more than just saying, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's good. Something you ought to be proud of. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But what kind of stance are you taking with the things that we're dealing with right now? Amen. I don't know how you feel this morning. I'm not hiding it under the bushel. I'm pro-life. Amen. I said I'm pro-life. Do I have any pro-life people in the house this morning? Amen. Oh, thank you back there. If you want to stand, go ahead and stand. You're not ashamed. I'm pro-life. I believe in protecting these babies. Ha, 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 ha. My, 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 my. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I ask you this? You can just continue to stand if you would. Can I ask you this? How many would make a commitment this morning that I'm willing to stand up for righteousness?
I'm willing to stand up for what's right. Amen. Does what you see going on in our nation, does it bother you? It does me. It breaks my heart. Does it bother you? Or you might be one of those saying, "Oh, I don't get involved in it." You need to know what's going on. I'm not here to tell you need to stay glued to the TV. My daddy-in-law, before he died, I'd walk in and he'd be so depressed. He'd watch news all day long. I said, "Benny, you need to kind of regulate that. It'll depress you. But you need to know what's going on, right? Does it bother you?" It does me. And I believe that I'm pastoring a congregation that's troubled and bothered. Does 50 million babies aborted a year bother you? Mother comes to have an abortion. True story. Has another kid. Going to have an abortion. The doctor said, "Which one do you want us to kill?" And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. It bothers me. 50,000 babies a year. 125,000 abortions a day. That bothers me. Does it bother you? I'm proud to declare unto this congregation this morning, without compromise, I am a pastor who believes right is right, wrong is wrong. I am pro-life. I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman. And the list goes on. And if that don't fit into your agenda, I'm at the wrong place. Right? You agree with me? How many believes in righteousness? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. As we play some music, and I've done pretty good. I promise you that if you'll bear with me, we'll get out of here in time to get to Sizzling before First Baptist does. You don't cooperate, we're not. I'd like for us to, the next little bit, pray for our nation. If you can make your way to the front, I realize this is Sunday morning. There's no way that everybody can. But whoever can, make your way to the front. Make an altar where you're at. Make a group. Join together with two or three others. But I want us to pray for our nation, that they'll know right from wrong and stand for what is right. Would you do that? As he brings...